Greetings, it's the Duke here.
And I'm Lady J, and this is Up Schitt's Creek, the podcast.
Dedicated to all things Schitt's Creek.
It's like riding a bike.
It sure is.
Oof, it feels good.
Oh, it feels really good to be back.
Mm-hmm.
If only for just one episode of this podcast.
Oh yeah, well, it's probably the most important one we'll ever record.
Probably. Things have ended.
Yes, things have happened.
A lot of things have happened.
Yeah.
In Schitt's Creek world and just in the world in general. But we're going to keep it about Schitt's Creek.
Oh yeah.
Because
this whole podcast will essentially be an extended segment of Schitt's news.
Yeah. Beep 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 beep. Oh, I miss doing that.
Aww.
Well, so things have happened. The show has ended.
The show has ended. We all died a little bit in our hearts.
Those people that didn't know about the show have now learned about the show. And the Emmys made damn sure about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Swept it.
Swept it. Clean sweep. Only show, only comedy, I think, that's ever done that.
From what I know.
Yeah.
From what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And rightfully so.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I know that we were cheering for Catherine.
Oof.
Who wasn't?
Mm-hmm. O'Hara's there.
And if I'm being honest, that's what I made my popcorn for. And that's what I got my bottle of wine ready for. You know,
the fact that it was the first award of the night was almost like anticlimactic because we were like, this is all we care about.
Right.
Like, and it's happening right now.
Catherine has said that in an interview that she didn't expect it. She didn't find out for like till 2 minutes before I think it was supposed to happen that her category was the first one of the evening. And yeah, I didn't expect that either. And then I'm just sitting down ready for it, you know. And then it comes up, and what do? I mean, you just, you grab on to your chair, you grab onto your seat, and you pray for the best.
I'll tell you, when they announced her name, I was lying down on the couch in my living room, mm-hmm. being very, you know, cool as a cucumber about the whole experience, like obviously hoping beyond hope, but just like being like, okay, this isn't going to change my life one way or the other.
Yeah.
And so I was like lying on the couch and this category comes up. I was like, okay, this is it. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. And when they announced her name, I literally threw myself onto my knees on the floor and was like, a ball of tears. Yeah. I think at some point I curled up into the fetal position because I just couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
And then I pretty much stayed on the floor for the rest of the sweep. Like, mm-hmm. I couldn't mm-hmm. get up because every time I moved to like get up, they'd win another one.
Yeah.
Like, it was just amazing.
I had my windows open mm-hmm. in my house and I had my daughter watching with me. And I just remember jumping up off the couch and applauding so hard that not only my hands, but my arms were aching for the rest of the night up until the morning because, you know, we know it didn't end there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just remember jumping up, screaming at the top of my lungs because I wanted everybody to hear me. I wanted everybody to know that wasn't watching that she had won
mm-hmm.
because that was important to me at that time.
Yeah.
At that moment in time, nothing else mattered.
Yeah.
But the world knowing that Catherine O'Hara just won Best Comedic Actress. And yeah, it was, you know, we've talked about this so much and how deserving she is of mm-hmm. this and how deserving she's always been. She's brilliant. We know that. We don't need to say that 10 million times, even though we have. But yeah, Catherine O'Hara won Best Actress in a Comedy Series. And it truly is O'Hara's era.
Mm-hmm.
And the speech that she gave,
ugh.
Everything she said, and what a bright light in this shit-ass fucking year, you know? That was the best. And then to make it better, next up, Eugene.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what?
Mm-hmm.
I really, 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 really was hoping and praying, and a part of me did believe, like, she's going to get this. You can't not acknowledge the fact that this brilliant human being is deserving of this award, you know, and so many more. But it made me nervous for the ones to come after that. I'm like, okay, hold on.
Right. Because we know how Emmys go. We know that it's so political and it's so like, okay, we'll give them this, but we won't give them this one. Yeah. And it's like a throw you a bone kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've always thought of Schitt's Creek as a show that would be thrown a bone, you know, not get the full like accolade it's ever, you know, been worth kind of thing. And yeah, so after she won, it was like, okay, well, I mean, okay,
that's enough.
She got her Emmy. Like,
great.
That means that the show has been recognized. Everyone's recognizing her genius. Like, cool. They got their bone, you know?
Yeah. But oh my God, I could never have anticipated in a million years what was going to come of the rest of this comedy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, oh my God, Eugene. I mean, his category came up, and I'm seeing all these other brilliant actors.
Oh yeah,
in this category, and the minute they said his name, I really like. I didn't jump up. Admittedly, I didn't jump up as fast as I did when they announced Catherine. I kind of looked around, like, is this real? And then I saw the shock in his face.
Yeah.
And in his son's face, and it's like, this is fucking happening. Like, well, if this is happening, what else is going to happen? And then you're just like, you're buckled in. You're like, all right, let's see what happens here. And fucking wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I will say this, and this is going to be like, admittedly, a hard pill to one admit slash also swallow.
Yeah.
Like, for myself and everyone listening right now who's a fan. About, I think it was after Dan had won his second Emmy, which was for directing, I believe. It was before he won the acting Emmy. Because
writing came first,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So it was like Catherine, Eugene, writing, directing, and then Dan
and Annie,
and then the show.
Sure.
Won,
yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it was after Dan had won his second Emmy for directing. And I sort of kind of realized, like, oh my God, like, I'm not going to get up off this floor because, like, what's happening right now is like insane. Mm-hmm. Right. And this weird feeling or whatever, like, washed over me. Okay. You know how, like, there's the kind of mom for whom like nothing is ever good enough. Like, you know, it's like you'll be like the most talented person, or you'll be like the most successful in your career, and like all these accolades are like put upon you, and like you're thriving in life, and your mom's always like, okay, you know, and what, you know, or like what's next, you know?
Yeah.
And when the sweep was finished and they had won everything, and like it was amazing, and even though my heart swelled like three times its size and all of that, part of me was like, okay, enough already. Like, let someone else win one.
Wow.
I know. And it's terrible for me to like even admit that I had that feeling, but I own it because I had it,
oh,
you know?
Oh, so you're not my best friend anymore is what you're saying. I don't know you.
Okay. And maybe that's even like what I just described is like the quickest way to explain what I felt.
Yeah, sure.
The more sort of in-depth version of that is this feeling of like it was like too much, you know. And I don't know, and maybe it was because I didn't think it could ever happen, and so like when it did, like my brain and my heart were like at odds with each other of like wanting it, but then
sure,
like now having to be confronted with the fact that it happened or whatever, you know. It was this weird thing, and it was fleeting, granted. Like, it left as soon as it came, because then I was just immediately just like so happy for them, and genuinely just like in awe and shock at clearly the statement that the Academy was making with the sweep, which is, this is the best show, and we know that, and we acknowledge that, and everything that you guys did for 6 years didn't go unnoticed, and the message and the comedic genius of it, we see you, you know?
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, because I think maybe in that same moment that you were experiencing that right? feeling and those emotions, I just remember thinking at some point, there's going to be a lot of angry people.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a lot of pissed off people. And only a few moments later, when Dan went up to accept one of his million awards, he said, the internet is about to turn on me. Yes. I'm like, yeah, there is going to be some pissed off people that don't understand. And probably who have never even seen the show.
Yeah.
Who were rooting for, you know, one of these other amazing comedy series and amazing actors who don't quite understand all that is Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
You know? And maybe it is those people who turned on him, who turned on the show, who were hating, I guess you could say.
I will go out on a limb and say, obviously, this is a blanket statement, so it's never going to be 100% true, but I feel like all of the quote unquote hate, because nobody really hated on it, you know,
it was
like the kind of hate that you see when people are live tweeting the Emmys, which is like, oh, what, you know? But I would say that anybody that did say that kind of thing are people that have not seen the show. Like, nobody saw that show and was like, it didn't deserve it. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
So.
Yes. And I'll double down on that and say nobody who saw the show and appreciated it or understood the message behind it. Because I've heard and I've talked to so many people who have seen it and are very, they kind of generalize the show. It's a feel good. It's a comedy. It's this, that, or the other, but they don't get to like the root of what the show is, you know?
Right.
Who have never heard or seen any of the interviews that they've done where they've talked at length about the show and about what they've put into it and the messages they've wanted to send with the show. So I think people are just kind of looking at it like, oh God, they're really funny. And it made me laugh a lot. And I watch it with my family and, oh, we all have a good old time. And then we go click the, you know, channel and we go watch something else. But I think for some people, it didn't hit them the way it's hit so many of us and impacted so many of us. And I think that's when people are like, I don't get it, though. Like, why all these awards? Mm-hmm. I don't understand, you know, and I do agree that a lot of those other shows were great shows. Good Place.
Yeah.
I mean, a good fucking show. And I know you love that show.
I don't have words to explain like the how weird it hit me when Annie won her award. Like I knew it was coming by that point. It was so obvious that
did
this
you?
Is, yeah, I think I did.
Really?
I think as soon as I saw the nominees be announced for it, I was like, well, they've come this far. They've already won 4 tonight, like, or however many, 5 tonight. And I'm pretty sure that I know where this is going. And yet, like, my heart needed Darcy to win her Emmy. And it's not because I don't love Annie, and it's not because I don't think Alexis's character, like, had her moment this season and has earned everything, like, 100%. I just wanted there to be some recognition of Darcy Carden's performance.
That's fair. You know, that's fair. And for all those who have seen The Good Place, I mean, she's brilliant in it. She really is. You know, it would have been deserving on her part if she would have won as well.
I think here's what it comes down to, which is sort of like piggybacking on what you were speaking to earlier, which is that I think people slept on Schitt's Creek because it's not, or maybe it's not perceived as a prestige show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that, like, in the comedy category anyway, it's a little hard to think of shows as quote-unquote prestige shows because that's usually a term reserved for dramas, like the likes of Succession and things that also won awards that night, you know?
Yeah.
But when you think about, like, quote-unquote prestige comedies, you know, I don't think that people think that Schitt's Creek fits that bill.
Yeah.
But, again, to your earlier point, like, those people who think that don't understand really what this show is about, which is, yes, it's a comedy, and yes, on the surface, it's, like, feel good. It's, you know, you're laughing at slash with these people. It's very, like, situational and whatever, but it's also so much about these people. It's such a character-driven show.
It is.
And in that way, it is absolutely a prestige show. It is absolutely lives and dies by the characters that make it, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and if you don't, if you can't see that in it, you're not really going to get it. Yep. And then you're not going to understand why it swept the Emmys, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. I don't really like get caught up or like hung up on anybody that has anything bad to say about the show, because it's like, well, whatever. You just like, sorry. Sorry that you don't.
Sorry that you're wrong.
You. Sorry that it's not for you, you know?
Sorry that you don't have a heart and a soul. And I'm sorry that you're wrong all the time. Clearly, you should probably do something about that.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I have never heard this show talked about as much as I have since it's ended. Wow.
It's true.
Wow.
It's really true.
I mean, we've had people reach out to us.
Yeah. You know? I know.
Like, I just started watching this show. I just found out about it.
Quarantine's been really good to it,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Like, I following the Facebook page, the Schitt's Creek Fans Shoot the Shit. Shout out to them. Or shout out to all the followers of that page. I can't tell you how many times like I've scrolled through my Facebook feed and see people posting that are like new, like just like new members of the page, new fans of the show, like just found the show, love it, become part of the community immediately, like engage on all the things, you know. And then reach out to us, like on our social media. It's like, we just found, you know, your podcast, or people posting in the Facebook page, like, I'm looking for a podcast about Schitt's Creek, and people recommending us, which is always like,
thank you for that, compliment. By the way.
I know. Anytime anybody recommends us, I'm always like holding my breath, like, oh no, are people gonna like be like, don't listen to those two? But by and large, the comments are positive and it's wonderful. But
we've even had some people reach out to us, and maybe that's a little bit of why we're doing this. Asking if are you gonna do an Emmy episode? And I think we were kind of like, do we? Don't we? Like, what would we have to say? But you know what?
Yeah, there's nothing that we can say about the show that we haven't already said.
Yeah,
on this podcast, I think that like we owed it to ourselves and to anyone listening and to all those people that reached out asking us if we'll do this. You know,
yeah,
to like. Put a capper, you know, to put like a final bookmark chapter, you know, in the book of Schitt's Creek, or this podcast, I guess, to highlight and to talk about just the awesome year they've had.
Absolutely.
Know?
And now it's on, the final season is on Netflix.
Yes.
Here in the US.
Yes.
And the documentary.
Yes. I'm so
is
glad
its own.
There.
Yeah. And it's its own,
listing or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever it is on Netflix. I thought it was going to be a part of season
me
six.
Me too.
But I was very happy to see that it was its own whatever on Netflix. And I'm telling you, the minute I saw that, I had to press play. I don't know that I can see that documentary too many times.
No, I watched it again.
And every time I cry.
Yeah, me too.
Every time.
I mean, how could you not?
Yeah, it was so beautifully done.
It really was.
And it always gets me when they show them interviewing the people outside of what is it, like a meet and greet, like the the very first one that we went to.
Yes.
The very first one that they had
so
in
much
LA.
Footage from that one.
Yeah. And we met some of those people, which was so cool. You know, we have some pictures I think on our Instagram of some of those people, which is again extremely cool. Just a good group of people, and to hear what everybody had to say. And then when you saw the documentary, to hear what so many other people in the industry had to say about this show.
Yeah.
You know, just it. Oh God, I don't know. I don't know that you can. I don't know if I've ever seen a show get praise like that. That type of praise from people.
It's true.
The way it has impacted people, the way it has.
Yeah.
It's.
And it just goes to show, like, it's not hard. Like, I mean, I think that might take away from the specialness and magic of Schitt's Creek, which is not my intention. My point in that was to say, it's not this unknowable world where you create a show that touches so many people's hearts and lives and minds and opens up so many conversations in so many families and opens so many doors for so many people and highlights you know, the amazing like comedic ability and acting ability of these relative unknowns, you know, that came right. into it before the show. And like, it's not this magical, like, oh God, once in a lifetime situation. Like, this is the little show that could, yeah. and it did. And like, really all it takes is care and love and energy and openness and putting forth like your best in you, you mm-hmm. know, and you make magic every time when you do that, mm-hmm. you know, and I feel like that's the real takeaway for the industry at large, you know, yeah. and like, and also what it gets back to, like, when people have anything bad to say about the fact that it won every Emmy, it's like, you just, you don't get it. Like, sorry that your show didn't, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like, this show fucking did.
Each and every one of those awards was well deserved by the people that received them. I mean, you know, for the writing for Happy Ending.
Ugh.
I mean,
for David's reaction to the Happy Ending alone,
yeah.
that episode, that season, the show deserves everything. Like, for that moment, you know, the moment I'm talking yeah. about when he's like hugging Patrick, but like talking to Stevie, like silently.
Yes. the looks, he's like, oh, yeah,
it's like the greatest. That moment will live in my memory forever.
Yeah. Yeah. And now these amazing actors are moving on
yeah.
to other things, to other shows. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, Dan has his deal and he's starring in a movie.
Yes. The Happiest Season.
Uh-huh. With Kristen Stewart, I believe.
Kristen Stewart, Mary Steenburgen. Mm-hmm. I unfortunately don't know the actress's name that's playing like the lead with Kristen Stewart. I know her from things, but I just don't know her name to mm-hmm. say it right now. But she's also like a really good, like one to watch kind of actor. Yeah, I'm excited to see that come out.
So am I. I'm excited to see all these things that these people are doing. I really want to know what Catherine's going to do next.
Oof, yeah.
Because I'm there, you know?
Do you see Catherine doing another series?
No,
I don't.
Yeah. Not to say that she won't or she couldn't, but I think
she won't. I think that she totally could, but I actually think she won't, you know?
Yeah, I can see that. I see, you know, from what we know, what it took for her to do just this show.
Yeah.
I think that she would need something as amazing
yeah.
to sign on
yeah.
to that. And
because
I don't know.
It would also be a disservice to her as an actor for her to, like, be, like, a stunt cast on some other show, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know how they do that sometimes where, like a show needs to be anchored by, like, a well-known commodity?
Uh-huh.
And so they'll, like, put somebody in there that's not really part of it, but, like, in every episode, but, like, for a minute, you know? I don't want that for her.
I don't want that either because she's a star.
Yeah.
She is, like, the main attraction.
Yeah.
You know? And she needs, if she's going to pick anything, she needs to remain the main attraction.
Agree.
And I don't know that where she would get that right now. And if ever again. And again, not that she can't.
No.
My
absolutely.
God. She could have a one-woman show.
You know
it
what?
Would be a hit.
That would be fucking awesome.
Yeah, it would be actually now that I'm speaking those words.
I would love to see her do a one-woman stage. Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Oh, I want that for her so badly.
She would fucking nail that.
She would be, like, my mind immediately goes to Lily Tomlin's one-woman
yeah.
show that she did. And that would be, like, right up there for me. Like, I would move heaven and earth to see that for sure.
Oh, my God. I would be first in line.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Catherine, baby.
Ugh.
Come on.
And you know she'd have the most amazing stories. Or she could just create a character because, hello, that's what she does.
She can create 5,000 characters on that stage.
Right? Right. It wouldn't even have to be autobiographical.
And we would applaud each and every one of them.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're so right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. She could sing. She could dance. She could do it all. Oh, my God. Yes.
Imagine if she,
happen.
Like, revisited each one of the characters she's ever done. And it's just like, hey, baby, I'm here. Let's go. You know it. You love it. Yeah, that would be
something.
Can we
get in touch with her people? Because, like, this needs to happen.
Yeah.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That, I don't know. I don't know what Catherine's going to do, if anything. I mean,
what about Eugene?
Eugene, yeah.
I think at this point, same goes for Eugene. If Eugene's going to do anything, it needs to be worth it.
I can see Eugene doing any kind of the type, what? Like, because Eugene's done a lot of movies that are yeah, not the Christopher Guest movies, where right, he's had like a supporting type of role, you know. And so, like, as far as I'm concerned, like, I would just love to see him continue to have that kind of a career. He doesn't necessarily need to be the star of something for me. Like, I think I get enough comfort and appreciation, like, just seeing him on screen, mm-hmm, like doing his thing, you know, and possibly playing the straight man, possibly like playing the comedic relief, whatever. Like, he's so good at everything.
It'd be funny to see him in something like that again.
Yeah,
you know, a little break from the straight,
right? Like, my mind immediately goes to what's that movie with Steve Martin and Queen Latifah? I don't know why that's the first movie.
Oh god,
Bringing Down the House. No, that's not
All
it.
In the House, or what the fuck is the name of that movie?
I think it might be Bringing Down the House.
I don't know. Like, I know you're talking about that.
But, like, I don't know why that's, like, the first thing that comes to mind for that kind of a role for him. Because he's, Lord knows, he's done a million things. But, like, you know, like, I like him in that capacity. Yeah. Like, I think he sits well in that situation. So,
here's something I want to revisit with you, because I know that we discussed it before on this podcast. We talked about Dan possibly guest hosting SNL. Do you think now, after all this,
I still don't want him to do it?
He would. No, you don't want him to do it.
I don't know. He might. Like, I'm not gonna. I don't know what his people will decide for him to do, but I don't think it's like on brand for him to do SNL.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting to me, because if I'm being completely honest here, I feel like I would love to see him in that. I feel like, especially after this whole Emmys sweep, I feel like SNL has him right now on speed dial and is like, do we, don't we? I feel like we could do this. And a part of me is really like, fingers crossed, hoping he does it. I would love to see it.
Okay. So, quick pause on that topic, mm-hmm, because what I want to talk about will sort of bring us back to it, I think.
Okay.
But did you see the Coastal Elites thing on HBO?
I did.
What did you think about his segment?
I loved it.
Okay, me too. Let me preface this by saying me too, 100%. I loved it. I also appreciated that his segment was like sort of stood on its own a little bit. Like, it sort of stood apart from the others,
yes,
you know, because of the subject matter not being quite like about the president per se, you know. Mm-hmm. But something, okay, I've been waiting like a month to talk to you about this. I'm so glad it's happening on mic. Okay. When he, and the spoiler alert for Coastal Elite, so whoever hasn't seen it, like, skip forward
skip
a few minutes or whatever. The part where he's going into the, like what he did for the audition,
yeah,
right? Where yeah, he, like, for lack of a better term, turns up the gay, okay? I hated it. I hated seeing him that way. And it occurred to me, it's because that's not who he is. Like, he's been a gay man on TV for 6 years, as far as yeah, I've seen him. And he's never had to, quote unquote, turn up the gay, because that's not the show. That's not him. That's not the world he lives in. You know what I
right,
mean? And that's certainly not the world he created for this role for himself, you know?
Yeah.
And seeing him do that, even though, like, on the meta level, he was doing it meta within the show of Coastal Elite.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was like, oh, this is just wrong. Like, this does not fit him at all. Mm-hmm. It's not him. And it was weird. It was a weird, like, juxtaposition or like something I had to reckon with. I was like, oh my God, like if he had not created his own show, like is this the character he would have been as we have met, like when we met him in TV, you know?
It's funny that you say that you hated it.
I didn't say, I mean, okay, I don't want to say hated it. That's weird too, because like who cares?
No, but I understand what you mean by that.
What I hated was seeing him that way. Like, because it's not, it was a weird thing to see him do that, you know? Yes.
What I loved about that was his ability to put himself in a situation where he could act out and explain how Hollywood and how just, I think society in general can exploit someone's gayness.
Yeah.
And have them turn it up, like you said. And the willingness of him and his character to kind of jump into that, to basically like show you what it means to exploit gayness. I fucking applaud him for that.
No, because the segment was phenomenal.
Right.
Like,
but to your point, it felt wrong.
Yeah.
Like it was weird. Felt. But I think that's the point of you know?
100%. Yeah. Absolutely. Like that, like the point of that segment is to show how.
And it did it.
He's being exploited or that is being exploited.
And you're right. I didn't like it.
It was like.
And it made you feel like, fuck that, you know? And to see this person, the internal struggle within him, like, fuck, I didn't want to do it, but I did it because I was told to do it. Mm-hmm. And if I really want this, I have to do this. And goddamn, if that isn't fucking accurate as fuck.
Yeah.
Like the exploitation of that, of someone's vulnerability, really, and throwing them out there for entertainment value.
Yeah.
You know, who you are as a person to just exploit that, like for just sheer entertainment. It's gross.
Or in the name of like, quote unquote, diversity and inclusivity.
Yeah.
You know, like. Yeah, it's
but,
a whole.
But is it?
We could do a point, whole separate podcast
that is true.
Series on that aspect.
But I applaud him on that.
Yeah, no, and it was phenomenal.
Wow.
It was phenomenal acting. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, and to see him jump in that, because we're so used, we are used to the David, you know? We're used to seeing him as David Rose in all his beauty and all of his gayness, all of his, you know, pansexuality on the show. And it wasn't that, you know, it was something so very gross, but also so very necessary for him to do, to explain that, what it is.
I think, okay, now that I've had like a few more minutes to like wrap my head around that, all this thing, like I want to sort of rephrase my sentiment and say like, it's not even that I disliked seeing him that way. In Coastal Elites. I mean, I did, but that's not really my point, I think. My point was, or is, that how grateful I am to his creation of the character of David Rose, which allowed him to be a gay actor playing a pansexual person on screen and really, like, no different or like not turned up in any way. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like his sexuality not informing his portrayal of the character of David Rose. You know?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And how like unoften what's the word for that? Like rarely.
Rare.
Seldomly. we see that, if ever.
Yeah.
In mainstream Hollywood.
Yeah. It was such a juxtaposition, like from the character that he plays and the character that we know we love him as, to he's not, this character isn't putting on more than he needs to, because he just is.
Exactly.
He is this human being. He is this person.
Exactly.
In all of his wonderfulness, you know? And then to see that shift in this person in Coastal Elites, who is now admittedly like diving into this character,
this caricature, you know,
and being told you have to be a certain way for us to accept you and to hire you, really, because this is what the people want,
right?
You know,
well, and this is the character that we've written,
essentially,
you know,
and it brings you back again to David Rose. And the fact that Dan wrote that character for himself, mm-hmm. and he called the shots there, and he was able to tell his own story through that character and tell other people's story through that character. And then just to be that person.
Right.
It was so different. And why I'm so very glad that he did Coastal Elites to show that shift, you know, that mm-hmm. juxtaposition in those two characters.
But so now circling back to the SNL of it all.
Yes.
Like, what worries me about especially a show like SNL, which don't get me wrong, like I'm a fan, like I watch SNL, I enjoy it. Like I don't like watch it at 11:30 every Saturday, but like I watch it.
Watch it on Hulu sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that show, if the parameters that show sort of operates within would allow for Dan Levy to just be.
Hmm.
You know?
Interesting.
Like, and I mean, I don't know. The way that like you hear about how SNL works is like there's like the pitch meetings on Tuesdays where all the writers will come with their ideas and the host has some sort of veto power in that situation. So like I would trust that like if the writers were trying to pitch something that didn't work for him, like he would say no to it or whatever, you know, like that he would advocate for himself if not anybody else advocating for him, and obviously like stay in the lane that he has, not only that he's comfortable in, but that he's sort of built for himself and sort of created in the industry. Let's not forget, like his character of David Rose is like one of a kind and yet to be seen, you know, elsewhere. So like I would like to think that he would work, like stay in that lane for himself, you know? But I don't know. I worry about SNL because it is so incendiary these days. It is so political. It is
and I get what you're saying too. And I think because that show is, a bit of satire, that satire comedy, it can be problematic at times. And especially for everything that he's built over the years, it can be problematic. Like you said, it can be like, ugh, do I really want to do this? I feel like unless he was completely involved in every single one of the characters that he was going to be, you know, playing.
Mm-hmm. And every sketch and all the messages behind every sketch, which like there have been hosts where you see like you can kind of see their stamp on the whole show. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of is better for that, you know, like the one that comes to mind of like recent history is Chance the Rapper's episode. Is that his name?
Yes.
The one that wears a 3 on his hat. When he does SNL, especially that first time he did it, like it felt like that's his stamp on it. And the show really benefited from it. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of the best SNLs there had been in a long time when he did it, you know? So like certainly certain hosts can come in and when they have ideas and they're wanting to participate in the engine that is SNL, like I think that can work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I kind of feel like Dan is too sacred for it. Like,
I
that
know.
Sounds terrible.
I know what you mean.
Weird,
but
like,
I also think something that keeps coming to mind when I think of him on, you know, a sketch comedy like SNL is his dad and Catherine being in SCTV, you know, that sketch comedy. I feel like that's one of the reasons also why I would love to see him in something like that, to see the approach that he would take to something like that.
Sure.
If it would be the same approach that his dad took to, you know, to SCTV. I kind of want to see that magic happen and how that would go.
Yeah.
You know,
but see, even in that sentiment, like, you know, in terms of the culture and like time and place, like SCTV had such a mountain to climb when it was on because it was literally directly combating SNL.
Yeah.
And it never really rose to the level of SNL. I mean, now it's like a cult classic type situation, like those who know, you know.
Yeah.
But SNL survived the test of time, quote unquote, and SCTV, quote unquote, didn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like that, even that tells you like the flavor of the difference, mm-hmm. you know, I think. I don't know.
But to your point too, these are different times, you know, than when SCTV was just starting and just it was true sketch comedy. Like it was just funny because it was funny. Like though each one of those characters, those comedians carried the comedy.
Yeah.
And the show was only funny because of what they brought to the table, You know, yeah. Even if the writing happened and stuff, they were off the cuff all the time with this shit.
Side note on that real quick. I just recently listened to Alex Trebek's newest memoir. And the answer is dot, dot, dot. It is seriously like the greatest listening ever. Ken Jennings does most of the narration. And then Alex like takes over for certain segments. Mm-hmm. One where he's talking about Ken's time on the show. Oh. And two, like at the end where he's sort of like reflecting on his life as it nears its end because he knows he's dying and it's terribly sad.
Oh.
But one of the things that Alex, like in his own voice on the audiobook, says is that while he loves Will Ferrell's portrayal of him and even participated in SNL's like Jeopardy skit once, he much prefers Eugene Levy's version of him on SCTV. And it,
that's
like,
made, great.
It reduced me to tears, but also like made my heart swell because I was like, oh, like, man, the Canadians know how to get it done.
They really do. They really do. Yeah. It would be interesting. It's interesting. Dan's going to do great things. We know that he's you know, onward and upward for him. I'm anxious. Maybe I'm just anxious. Overly anxious.
I get it.
And see what happens.
And I think we're all sort of having this moment of anxiety when it comes to like new content, especially for our Schitt's Creek friends, because this would have been the moment for them. Like, we know Annie had that pilot that was going to go on AMC. We know that Emily is currently shooting something, I think up in Canada, I don't think in Canada. Maybe here in LA.
I don't think it was in Canada because I know that for the Emmys, she couldn't make it.
That's right. Whatever. Like, they're all doing things, but then with COVID, like, everything's been put on hold, like, postponed. A lot of shows have gotten canceled after being renewed, which is heartbreaking.
Sarah and Tim are going to be on a show together.
Sarah and
Tim Rozon.
Oh, Rozon. I was like, who's Tim? Yes. Yeah. They are going to be on a show together.
They're going to be on a show together. Yeah, reunion.
That's cool.
It'll be interesting. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I'm rooting for all of them because they're all equally wonderful and spectacular and splendid.
I know.
Yeah.
We'll see. Here's the thing. If Dan ends up on SNL, like, I will tune in at 11:30 on Saturday night. Like, that will be appointment television for me 100%. Yeah. I will be interested and intrigued to see what happens, you know? I'm just not holding my breath.
I know.
About it.
Let's face it. Every time we learn about something, even if it's an interview, you know, that any one of these people are on, I'm tuning in.
Yeah.
The world stops and I need to hear it or to see it.
Mm-hmm. Did you see them on Kimmel? I think it was Kimmel after the Emmys, where they were all in their separate Zooms.
And the cutest thing ever was Eugene and Dan sitting next to each other holding their Emmys on the couch. Like, we're here, guys.
So cute. And they all did their Eugene impressions.
They were all the same. Oh, and then his own son is sitting right next to him, and he's like slow. That's how he talks. Yeah. So slow, snail's pace kind of thing. And Eugene's just having a good old time laughing at these guys. Like, what can I say? Awesome. It's me. It's who I am.
It's awesome. Like, I mean, it cannot be said enough. What a gift and what a like truly joyous thing it is / must be. To be having this moment, like, with your family, like, with your son, with your father, with your daughter, like, that's so cool, man.
It is.
Like, it was already cool that they made this show for 6 years. It was already cool that, like, it had such fans support and, like, was so beloved by millions of people across the world. But then to have all these accolades, like, put upon it as well, it's like, there's nothing like that, right?
No.
It's the coolest thing.
They have earned a break. They've done the things.
Yeah.
Okay? They've done it all. And they won all the awards. They have the awards to show for it now. They should go on a vacation. Oh, wait, they can't. Nobody can.
Well, I think that their vacation is like being up in Canada away from here. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
And then like Noah got married.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Noah got married.
Gorgy porgy wedding.
Oh, very cute. So happy for them.
Like, it looked like it was like at the end of a dock. It was like so mm-hmm. cute and like small and just very simple and just very fitting, them. Fitting yeah. Noah. Very, very them.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Congratulations to Noah. Mm-hmm.
And his new album, which came out sometime this year, I believe, like in May.
Have you seen some of like the videos for it?
I saw the video for the one that had the dance. Was that Hold On?
I couldn't tell you, but
the one that, you know, like the dance about. That like went viral on the internet.
Yes.
So I've seen that video, but I haven't seen it.
I want
others.
Him to get so big.
I know, right?
I do.
I'm having flashbacks like to his career of how I felt about Florence, like when Florence first came on the scene, or like when Adele first came on the scene. And it's like they were popular, like people knew who they were, but it was like they were playing small venues. You know, you could still get tickets. You could get really up close and personal with them. You know, speaking of which, like his concert is the last thing I did this year. Like the last like social
I
event.
I think it was mine, too.
It was his concert in February.
I think it was mine too.
Yeah.
Oof, God. Wow. And then the world ended.
God. Womp womp.
Womp womp, Christine. Jeez Louise. Yeah. No, I need him to get big.
Yeah.
Because I need to say that I saw him in concert.
I know, you know? Right? It's like cool.
Oh, Noah Reed. Yeah, saw him.
Also happened to be where we got our picture with Annie and breathed the same air as Catherine.
Yeah, really? She just like walked by and I smelled her and it was wonderful.
That happened.
It did.
It feels like a billion years ago.
It did. And then we went downstairs and Annie and her friend were in front of us like jamming out to this freaking DJ who was playing rap music. That was the best thing, watching her and her friend dance.
Yeah. What a night.
Yeah, it was.
Top night.
So I feel like that's pretty much what's happening in the world of Schitt's Creek.
Yeah. It's been a fun,
it has,
busy, interesting year.
It has. Rewatching the show has really helped, I think, get us all through this fucked up time.
Hundo pee.
Yes.
Or honey pee.
Honey pee. Yeah. I'm going to be forever grateful to that show for so many reasons right now, including the fact that it's helping me get through this. Mm-hmm. It is. It really is. I feel like so many people's saving grace right now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to continue watching until the world decides to unfuck itself. So yeah, that's that.
Before we wrap this up, maybe this feels like a good time to,
I think so. I think we've waited long enough.
Yeah.
We've kind of thrown it out there a little bit here and there.
Yeah, when people have like asked us point blank, like, what's next, right? Like, are we gonna do something else? And we've always sort of like, our party line answer has always been like, stay tuned, you know, it's coming.
Yeah. One, because we have had to get our shit together and figure out what it is that we're gonna do.
Well, and then obviously like the elephant in the room being like us not really being able to get together and like the limitations involved in that. But we will be starting a new venture. It's hard to call it just a podcast because I think it's more than
that.
It's going
to be so much more.
Yeah. It's kind of like a whole, like an ethos, if you will.
We're spreading our wings, man.
Yeah.
We're going to teach this bird how to fucking fly. And we're just going to go balls to the wall with this shit.
I feel like we're the birds that need to learn how to fly in this case.
No, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Oh, okay. We're going to be doing a new thing. It's going to be sort of part audio podcast, part YouTube channel, part like a community of people that, you know, hopefully will embrace it and be part of it.
So not only are we going to be blessing your ear holes,
you'll be able to stare at these mugs
fucking all day, every day, whenever you want.
I don't know about every day.
Let's
not commit to every day.
You can press replay anytime.
That's true. And we highly encourage that.
Hey, please. We could be on a loop if you love us that much.
Just autoplay a playlist just one episode at a time.
Yeah, these hens want to keep cackling, man. Let's do it.
Are we gonna like launch the name? Like,
let's do it.
Okay. Or should we do it together?
You do one and I'll do the other.
Okay. Do you want me to do the first part? You sing the part?
Wow. This is a lot harder than it should be.
No. Okay. I'm just going to do it. So the new thing is going to be called Not Great,
Less Bad. What the fuck is that, you say?
Yeah. We'll let you know. No, I'm kidding. It's sort of taking off on this idea that, like, things are maybe not the greatest and not, you know, sunshine and rainbows all the time. But we're hoping that our take on it and what we bring to the table will make it less bad.
We're going to find the silver lining in each of these situations that we talk about in each and every episode. I mean, we're really going to look for the silver lining. Mm-hmm. And you don't know, there may not be one in certain ones that we discuss.
Yeah.
But we're going to take the approach of, okay, what is it? Have we learned anything from it? Did anything good come out of it? And there may just be some episodes where we rip something a new asshole. We don't know, but we're here for it.
Yeah. Think like variety show meets, you know, our very specific brand of comedy.
Yeah. And we're going to be very open about the things that we discuss.
Yeah. So, unfiltered. I mean, if you're looking for, and also the other thing we should probably mention to listeners of this podcast that we'll hope, or that we hope will migrate over to Not Great, Less Bad, and join us on that journey. You know, if you're looking for Lady J and the Duke, you won't find them.
No.
That's, you know, we're not, that's not who we're bringing with us to this new venture. We're very much going to be Jacqueline and Christine.
Yeah.
But, you know, hopefully that sort of piques your interest a little bit.
We've learned a lot from this podcast and everything that we've done. And oh my gosh, we're going to take a lot of that with us into this new one. But at the same time, we're going to be very true to ourselves. Not that we weren't on this one.
Right.
We very much were. But I think given the topics that we're going to be bringing up, we owe it to ourselves and to listeners to be open, to be unfiltered.
Yeah.
A lot of it's going to be
unfiltered than this, you say?
What? Is that possible?
Buckle in, folks.
Absolutely. And, you know, we might disagree on
100%. I mean,
a lot of the things that we
already
talk about.
We already disagree on like something as basic as Schitt's Creek. Like, you know what I mean? Like, which, I mean, don't take my words out of context, people. You know what I mean by basic?
Yeah. But that's the point of this, is there's going to be a discussion about everything that we talk about. And again, we want to make this fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to stay away from certain things that are not fun and that we don't want to spend our time discussing, because there are some things right now that the world is already talking about that we just hear too much about anyways.
Agree.
And that's not what we want to bring to the table with this podcast, with this show, this new show. It's not great, but it's less bad. And that's our job, is to bring you both.
That's right.
In each and every episode.
And what we'll do is, in the liner notes for this episode, we'll put all of the new social media stuff for Not Great, Less Bad. Email addresses, Instagram, Twitter, all that stuff. We have all that. It's obviously light on content right now because we have yet to launch it. But you guys can start following that and, like, you know, be like the first to know when we do start launching things. So,
And this is also a call to you guys for whatever you want to hear, topics that you've wanted to discuss. You know, we're opening that up for you guys.
Yeah.
Let us know.
This will be interesting too, because we've talked about, like, we want this to be heavily, like, driven by and involving listeners and people that want to be part of the conversation. So, you know, we want to hear from you guys. Let us know what you want us to dissect or discuss.
Yeah.
Your opinions on things, like, you know, be part of it with us. And yeah, it should be really fun.
It will be.
Yeah,
it will be. I'm looking forward to
excited.
It. What better time than now?
I was going to say, it's about time.
Yeah.
We've been off the airwaves for a while now, and I'm itching.
I'm literally looking at a board right now of all of our ideas thrown on there.
If you thought we didn't have a storyboard, you were mistaken.
Extremely wrong with that. And we're going to continue to brainstorm and come up with different ideas, different topics.
It's going to be good.
It is. Not great.
Less bad.
Absolutely.
So stay tuned for that.
We're excited to bring this to you guys. It's going to be good. We hope you like it.
So I think we can officially maybe say that, like, there won't be a next time
there
on this one.
There won't be a next time on this one, guys.
It's weird to not say that or to not say till next time. But, you know, cheers to the end of an era.
Yeah.
And, you know, what a way to cap off a terrific series.
Absolutely. Well deserved.
Yep.
Congratulations to the show and all the actors. We love you guys so much. Mm-hmm. Thank you for all these amazing years and everything that you've done for us.
And thank you, listeners. Everybody that's listening to this right now, we could not have done this without you, without your support. So thank you so much for tuning in each week for like 2 years. And for being part of this journey with us. And we hope you'll tune into the next thing.
We do.
And we'll catch you on the flip side, I guess. How do we end this?
Best wishes.
Warmest regards.